Gray singing tonight, and Jeff has been letting us know how delighted he was with those songs, giving us his amen to every single one of them, and we're delighted for that. In addition to the keys, somebody also left a pair of sunglasses. I believe they were up in the balcony. I'm not sure. They were over here. They were over on the side. So somebody over here, if you've lost a pair of sunglasses, they are there. I have been asked to read a note to you, and let me do that right quick before we get started, if I can find it. I should have looked for it earlier. Well, maybe I can't find it. Anyway, I can't remember the name, so let me see if I can find where I had this. Helen just sent it back to me. Wanda Johnson called. She's home and improving and requests prayer for continued recovery, as well as for her daughter, Christy Ellis. Last week, Christy had exploratory surgery and biopsies on abdominal tumors. They will receive results tomorrow, and both Wanda and Christy and the rest of the family request prayers for good results and recovery. Wanda's a bit overwhelmed and asks for special prayers for Christy. She also asks that we not visit until she has more time to calm down. Wanda also lost her youngest sister, Sue, after getting home from the hospital, and she would appreciate cards from us. If you would, let's bow together. Father, we're so grateful for Wanda and grateful that she's able to be at home and able to begin to feel better. And Father, we ask you to be with her daughter, Christy, and help her in the tests and procedures that are coming up, that everything can go well with those procedures and everything can go well with her. We just ask you to be with this family and to bless them and help them in the days that are ahead for them. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. We're going to start back with the slide that we had up this morning, and we're not going to go through everything. We're not going to look at Galatians 2 again, but I wanted us to come down and take a look at these statements that are made about Peter. And we were talking about Peter and how distracted he became and what he was like during the time that we read about him in the Old Testament. Or rather in the New Testament. And Peter, the closest we may have of Peter's account of the gospel is written in Mark. Mark may very well have been following Peter around in Rome and writing down the things he was hearing from Peter. And a lot of information about the background of the books will take Mark to be a writing of what Peter was preaching and what Peter was teaching. But Peter writes two letters, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, and we're going to take a look at the second one. But I just wanted to remind us about Peter's distraction that we talked about this morning a little bit before we get into the reading that we're going to look at. He was distracted when he walked on water because he looked at the water and said, "What am I doing? I can't do this." And he wasn't doing it. Jesus was doing it with him or in him, allowing him to do it. But when he got distracted by the water, he took his eyes off Jesus. Then he began to sink. And then when he told Jesus, became angry with Jesus, because Jesus said, "I'm going to Jerusalem, and there I'll be crucified. And on the third day, I will rise from the dead." And Peter took him aside away from everybody else and said, "You will not die." And Jesus said back to him, "You have in mind the things of men, but not the things of God." And then the third one, when Peter actually says to Jesus at that Last Supper, I will never deny you. Even if everybody else leaves, I will never deny you. And then the very next thing, I do not know the man. And he says it three times, I do not know who he is. And then the question that he asked Jesus after Jesus tells him about the nature of his own death, then he wants to know about John. He wants to know what's going to happen to John. And Jesus says to him, what is that to you? In other words, that's none of your business. You be faithful to me. You don't need to worry about John. You just be faithful to me. So we're going to come to the rest of the story, and we're going to look at two readings. And I want you to turn in your Bibles and read along with me. Follow in your translation. They're not going to be on the screen, just the verses are that we're going to look at. And we're going to begin the reading in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. And what I want you to do is, as we read through this in 2 Peter chapter 1, I want you to look at what he's saying. What he's saying about himself. What he's saying about his salvation. What he's saying about his confidence. I want you to look at all the things that he's saying, knowing the background of all the things that he did that showed he wasn't always focused. He didn't always do exactly what he needed to do. He had wrong attitudes at times. There were a lot of things like that that make him very close to all of us. And then this is written, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. He was never removed. He was never put on probation. He was never let go. He was an apostle, Jesus Christ, from the time he was chosen, right up until now. What he's going to state for us in this letter is that he's about to die. He's about to die in exactly the way Jesus said he was going to die. And he knows that his time is over. But he's a servant. Has been since Jesus called him. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ. Has been since Jesus called him. With all the things that have gone on, with all the mistakes that he made. And then he says this, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours. To those who have a faith that is equal to ours. But look what he says in the latter part of the verse. A faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. How do we get to be good enough to have a faith of equal value with Peter's? You don't. Neither did he. We have a faith of equal value with him because we trust Jesus. Because we put our trust in his promises. Because the faith Peter had was because of the righteousness of God in Jesus. Not because of his own righteousness. Because of the righteousness of God in Jesus. And we have the same faith that Peter has if our trust is in Jesus. And then he says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Grace and peace will grow. Grace and peace will become more and more. Your assurance of it will become stronger and stronger. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The more we come to know what God has done and what God says, the more we put our trust and belief in what God has done and what God has said and in Jesus Christ, then grace and peace is multiplied to us. Verse 3, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and His own excellence. His divine power, not my ability, not your ability, not the good deeds all put together that I have done, but His divine power has granted to all of us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And we have that through knowing about Him, through knowing His promises, through knowing what He says, through knowing what He's done. And He has called us to be like Him. He has called us to be like Jesus, which is to be like God. He has called us to be like His own glory and excellence. And we're never going to reach it this side of heaven. But when we are there, we will see Him as He is because we will be like Him. Now we're striving for it. And the way we strive for it is through what He says. Do you see the assurance of the man named Peter as he writes these words? And it's assurance not that he has just for himself, but he has for all of those that are listening to his words. Assurance that he's sharing with each and every one of us. He goes on, by which, having come into his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them, through those promises, you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that's in the world because of sinful desire. Our struggle in this life is to put off those evil desires. But it will be a struggle that we have throughout this life. But when we have finished our race and our course, then all of the promises of God will be given to us, and we will have escaped the corruption that is in this world. In the world you have problems, Jesus said. In the world, you have tribulation. In the world, you have all kinds of things that are going to be tempting us continually. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, said Jesus. Verse 5. For this very reason, in order to put off sinful desire, in order to become more and more like what Christ would have me to be, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith, your trust in Jesus, your belief in everything that He says, your faith in Him to the point that you not only will listen to what He says, but you strive to do it. So supplement your faith with virtue. Do what's right. Do what you ought to do. Watch your conduct. Watch the way you live your life, the things that you say, the things that you do. And to your virtue, supplement that with knowledge. Don't ever stop learning about God. Don't ever stop learning about what God says. Every single one of us who've studied the Bible and studied it diligently all of our lives, every time we read it, it seems like we learn something new. Or something is made clearer to us than we ever knew before. There's no end to supplementing the knowledge that we have, that God gives to us. And to that knowledge, supplement that knowledge with self-control. Bringing myself under the control of God's word, myself under the control of God's will, rather than me doing what I want to do. And to that self-control, then supplement it with steadfastness. Never quitting. Never giving up. no matter how discouraging it might become, no matter how hard it might be, but being steadfast and doing all of that with godliness, adding to all that, supplementing that steadfastness with being like God wants me to be, being like God says, being like Jesus was. And supplement that godliness with brotherly affection with all of my brothers and sisters. Not handpicking, but those that belong to Christ along with me. Brotherly affection, and then supplementing brotherly affection with love toward all. The same kind of love that Jesus has toward all. The same kind of love that God has toward all, no matter who they might be. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, notice they're not completely in us yet. There's still room for growth. There's still room for them to increase. Peter's saying the same thing about himself. If these qualities are yours and you're growing them, they're increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are the plant that he wanted to grow. You are the fruit that he wanted to produce. If these things are in you, and they are increasing, for whoever lacks these qualities, who doesn't have them, is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. You may make mistakes. You may get distracted like Peter did. You may say things you wish you had never said. You may do things you wish you had never done. But if these qualities are in you, you're going to recognize it. You're going to do your best to turn from it. Ask God to forgive you. You will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What amazes me is when they read these verses down to this point, and it'll continue as we finish up the last few verses in the reading. Peter knows what he's done wrong. He knows the number of times he's done wrong. He's probably like all the rest of us. He couldn't count them all. But he knows what he has waiting for him because of the life of trust that he lived in Jesus. Even with all the mistakes that he made, that life of trust, and he knows where he's going. He knows what he has. Therefore, he says, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. Who's the you? Do you know it's us? I mean, he wrote this book. And God saw to it that this letter that he writes is in our hands tonight. And we can read it. And so he intends to always remind us of these qualities. Of course, we have the responsibility of picking up the book and opening it and reading it. Because he's not here to speak it anymore. But he's written it. And it's here for us. Though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I always love this verse because it reminds me of my mother and it reminds me of my grandmother, and I've mentioned it several times before. My mother got it from my grandmother. And whenever you would finish mother's sentence and you knew what she was going to say, fire would come in her eyes. She would stare you down. But then she finally got to where she would say, whenever we repeat it, she would say, good. Maybe when I'm gone, you'll remember it. And here's Peter telling us the same thing. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. What do you think Peter would have done to somebody who said, oh, we've heard this before? We've had this. We've heard it before. And Peter is saying right here, good. You're going to hear it again. And maybe you'll remember it. And you're going to hear it again and again and again. Maybe you'll remember it. It's like it's often said, there's nothing new that we can preach. There's nothing new that we can teach. It's all right here. And it's been here for thousands of years. It's here. Since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. In that chapter, Peter is describing for us, no matter what I've done, no matter the mistakes I've made, I belong to Jesus and I'm on my way to live with Him forever. And you can have the same assurance. You can have the same knowledge. And here's how you do it. And he tells us. And it's right here. And we can have that same thing. I want you to turn over to one other. And it's the last chapter in the same book. And it's chapter 3. And this is kind of fascinating as Peter writes these words. Paul talks about his apostleship and defends it. He talks about his inspiration. And before we read his letters, it's Luke in writing the book of Acts that tells us about his apostleship and how he became an apostle. And here, Peter writes a confirmation statement. And I just love the wording that he uses when you go back to Galatians chapter 2 and you look and think about Peter and what it must have felt like when Paul got in his face and rebuked him in front of everybody. And how Peter must have felt and what that must have been like for him until the light bulbs went off and he remembered and he recalled, he's right. I have denied the very thing Jesus told me about the Gentiles. And then the repentance comes. And this is what he writes here. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and be at peace. How can you be without spot or blemish? You ask Jesus to forgive you. And your sins are wiped away. They are gone. You ask him to forgive you when you are in Christ. And when we acknowledge our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us, to wipe them away. And so we are maintained without spot and without blemish, in the same way David described himself in the Psalms. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul. He didn't have to necessarily put it that way, but he did. He could have said, just as our fellow apostle Paul, and that would have been just as good. But he chooses to say, our beloved brother Paul. Do you think that night in the Galatian church, or in Galatia, when Paul describes it's not in Galatia, but when they are in that church and Paul confronts him, do you think this is when he became so grateful for the man that would have the courage to correct him? The man that would have the courage to stand up to him when maybe all others were afraid to stand up against the great apostle Peter. But Paul would not. Just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given to him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. beloved Paul. Hard to understand sometimes, but well worth reading. And one that you learn a great deal from. That's the rest of the story. And it's the rest of the story for us as well. That the very thing Peter did in order to guarantee heaven for himself is simply listen to Jesus, ask Jesus to forgive him when he did wrong, and strive to be what Jesus would have him to be. That's within the power of each and every one of us, because salvation is not dependent upon our perfection. It's dependent upon our trust in Jesus. That's what we have to do. That's what we are to do. And we can keep trusting him even though we stumble and bumble. And we can simply keep trusting him and asking him to be with us and to guide us. And he has assured us that he will if we listen to him and put our trust in him. We said this over and over again, just like Peter. I want to keep reminding you of it till you get it. And maybe if we keep reminding ourselves of it, we'll get it and we'll be able to share it with others. There may be some tonight who are ready to come into Christ, to be baptized into him. There may be some who desire to come home to Christ. If you desire to respond to his invitation this evening, we're offering it to you as we stand together and sing.